Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes up in the morning out in the garden. Get you a ripe one, do not get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes?
Welcome to this week's High Grow Garden Show, brought to you by Bloomer and Russell, PA, Heavy 16 Artisan Nutrients, Coast of Maine Organic Soils and Compost, Hydro Farm Hydrocultural Supplies, and of course, Hygrow Organics, 355 North Street, and now at 14 Bog Road in Caribou. We are officially the county's largest hydroponic store. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Holton's very own Hygrow Garden Show. I hope last week you enjoyed our Just Music show while we were preparing for this week's show about going indoors. Of course, I am Bill, and I'm joined today by Rachel. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know over the past couple of weeks, we have focused mainly on preparing your outdoor gardens and plant life for the upcoming winter months. Now that you're all set outdoors, we're going to spend the next couple of weeks going through the basics of starting your indoor garden.
There are a couple of different ways you can choose to set your indoor garden up to grow. You can choose the more commonly known method of planting your seeds into soil or growing medium, or you can choose to use various types of hydroponic systems to grow your garden. Regardless which method you choose, lights, temperature, and humidity will all be factors you need to address. Space is a good place to start, and your indoor garden can take up as much or as little space as you wish it to. Growing plants of all kinds, even tomato gardening, can be done on as little space as a windowsill. Larger growers or the more dedicated may want to set up a table or bench specifically for the garden. Find an area with a tile or linoleum floor to catch the inevitable drops of water or place a tarp under your table. Shelves provide lots of planting room while taking up little space. If using shelves, make sure that adequate light reaches every plant. This may require a separate grow light for each shelf.
Once you've chosen your space in which to grow, one of the biggest and most important things is to sort out is your lighting. Plants need light to photosynthesize and photosynthesis to survive. Without adequate light, your plants will grow tall and spindly. If there is enough energy to grow leaves, they still may not actually totally expand. And without enough light, don't plan on seeing flowers or fruit. Even plants near a window will probably not get enough light to thrive. Here are a few things to think about when purchasing a grow light. Plants have photoreceptors that absorb specific wavelengths of light. Your light needs to have the same wavelengths as the sun, which is why a regular light bulb will not work. The light should be as close to the plant as possible without burning the leaves. Usually that's, 14 to 16 inches. Most vegetables and other plants do best with 14 to 16 hours of light or simulated light. There are a few ways you can tell if your plant is getting enough light or not. And if it isn't getting enough light, it will usually have small leaves, thin stems, and the color of the plant will be lighter than a normal plant would be. A hormone called florigen controls budding and flowering. Long day plants require about 14 to 18 hours of light to produce just the right amount of florigen to flower and reproduce. Short day plants require about 10 to 13 hours of light. If short day plants are exposed to too many hours of light, florigen can be destroyed, preventing blooming. Now, after all of that, I think we're going to have a little break for some gardening music. This is Bill Kirchen in his song, Hammer of the Honky Tonk Gods. Enjoy.
Well, he put six strings on a maple stick, stuck it on a slab of ash, sold one to Luther, threw in a pit, set him out with Johnny Cash. I couldn't Leo Fender and the gang know at the factory in Fullerton that the honk and twang of the Telecaster tone would outlast him everyone. You crack a bloodline case and all up in your face, chip under lightning rod. Well, it was more at the junction, form and function. It's the hammer of a honky tonk god. It's the hammer of the honky tonk god. I
Iceman too. Brian, Bert, Roy, Danny, Red. Well, that's Red with two D's to you. Oh, there's Wynn and Keith off the top of my head. Chrissy, Cropper, and the boss. Why, Johnny, be good? I had the one. He would have been the St. Louis Telecaster horse. You grab the plush light case all up in your face. Your thunder and lightning ride. Oh, there was board at the junction of form and function. It's the hammer of the honky-tonk gods. It's the hammer of the honky-tonk gods. He grabbed a brush light case and all up in your face. It's your thunder and lightning ride. Board at the junction of form and function. Honky-tonk gods. Oh, that's the hammer of the honky-tonk gods.
So we just got to listen to Bill Kirchen, Hammer of the Honky-Tonk Gods. Pretty good song. Now let's talk a little bit more about some indoor gardening. There are many different types of grow lights available on the market today, and choosing the one that is best for you can be very confusing. This little rundown should make choosing a light that best suits your needs a little easier. Incandescent lamps are inexpensive and can be bought at a hardware store or nursery. While they work okay for growing houseplants, they're not ideal for an indoor garden. Fluorescent lights work best for growing herbs and other plants that don't require a lot of light. They are not good for plants that are budding or flowering because they don't put off enough light. Inexpensive, they can be purchased at the local hardware or gardening supply store, and we have them right at Hygrow. The new compact fluorescent systems, however, are quite bright and efficient, and in some cases might even be better than the fancier high-intensity discharge lights, HID to be exact. Compact fluorescents are smaller and more efficient than older forms of fluorescent lighting, so they can be used for all plants. They also produce less heat than incandescent and HID lights, and consequently can be placed much closer to the plant. High-intensity discharge bulbs are the brightest and most efficient lights available, but they can run a little bit more. One 1,000-watt grow light bulb can produce the same amount of light as 50-40-watt fluorescent lights.
There are several types of high-intensity discharge bulbs. There's high-pressure sodium, metal halide, low-pressure sodium, and mercury vapor. The high-pressure sodium and metal halide bulbs are the only ones indoor gardeners will need. High-pressure sodium, or HPS, bulbs produce an orange-red light that benefits flowering. With an average site lifespan two times that of metal halide, high-pressure sodium lamps are economical. This isn't the best choice if you are only going to use one, as it does not produce enough light in the blue spectrum needed for leafy growth. Metal halide bulbs produce a blue-white color that is conducive to encouraging leafy growth that keeps plants compact. A bulb will last about 10,000 hours and produce up to 125 lumens per watt compared to 39 lumens per watt for standard fluorescent lights and 18 per watt for standard incandescent bulbs. This is a good light to start plants with. When it comes time to flower, switch to a high-pressure sodium bulb. There is more to a grow light than just the bulb. You can purchase the reflector, cord, ballast, bulb, other parts separately, or buy a whole system that just needs to plug in. We specialize in those at Hygrow Organics, by the way. I think we'll have another song now. I think we'll listen to Casanets This Trip by Alejandro Escobedo.
I like her better when she walks away. Yeah, I like her better when she plays castanets. She works with that under. I like her better when she walks away. She turns me on like a pickup truck. I like her better when she walks away. I love the sun shining through her dress. I like her better when she walks away. I love her hair in a tangle mess. I like her better when she walks away. Yeah.
That was Alejandro Escovedo with Castanets.
Say that three times fast.
Now that we have given you a pretty detailed overview of some of the different types of lights that you can use when you're starting an indoor garden, I think it's time to touch on the temperature and humidity of your indoor gardens. Temperatures of 65 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit are best for most plants. A variance of 10 degrees Fahrenheit either way will probably be okay. Plants that are too hot will be small and weak. Plants grow at too cold temperatures may have yellow leaves that fall off. On to the humidity. A lack of humidity in the house can be a challenge for indoor gardeners. Winter tends to be drier than summer, and if you run the heat in your house, the problem is further compounded, especially for many of us that have a wood stove or pellet stove. You know you have a low humidity problem if the tips of your leaves are turning brown, plants look withered or puckered, plants lose their leaves. You've researched how much humidity your particular plant needs, and it isn't getting it. If you need to increase humidity, you can mist your plants daily or more often as needed. You don't want to mist your plants that are more hairy-leaved because the water will hang on longer and could cause a disease. You can also place a tray near your garden. Don't place plants in this tray. This could cause more problems for you. Fill the tray with lava rocks to increase surface area for evaporation. You can try placing plants close together to create a microenvironment with a higher relative humidity. Lastly, running a humidifier, which can benefit your skin as well, or purchasing an environmental controller, which can humidify and dehumidify depending on your needs.
When it comes to starting your garden or moving your existing garden indoors, there are a lot of different things to consider. Lighting, temperature, humidity are just a few on the list. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time this week to cover everything on an indoor garden today, but we'll be back next week to give you, some more tips on how to move your garden inside or start a garden inside. You can grow in soil or hydroponics. And if you want, in the meantime, if you want more information, please feel free to stop by the store. We're really, Jenny and Rachel and I are really good at growing things inside. So stop in and ask.
That's going to do it for today. Thanks again for tuning in to the High Grow Garden Show again this week. Don't forget about our huge sale still going on at High Grow Organics at 355 North Road in Holton. Stop in and see Jenny about questions that you may have.
This is Tabitha. Thank you all for listening to the High Grow Garden Show. If you have questions or comments for Bill, please send them to gardenshow@whoufm.com or visit us on Facebook. You can always stop by the store at 355 North Street and ask my dad in person.